Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Oh, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Muffet, the CEO of a raw dog food and company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble.
What a year. I mean, lots of people are happy to see 2020 move on, but I think 2021 is going to be even more interesting. I don't think the stuff that got going in 2020 isn't going away, so I think we're going to have a very interesting year ahead of us.
Yeah, what about that information? Hey, even if you take the vaccines, you need to be double masked for the rest of your life. Okay. I was reading a thing the other day about, I don't know if you saw this, it was called the cruise ship suicide. These crew members, because of Corona, when they docked, they couldn't go anywhere. They were basically trapped in their itty-bitty cabins.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't go out of their cabins. And if you've been on a cruise ship, you know how small these rooms are. They had like 4 people commit suicide because of that. I mean, it's just, this has just got to stop. We've just got to open up this country, build your immune system, take your vitamin D, which, oh my gosh, Dr. Jasek, I'm going to have to send you another article where it says Bill Gates has quietly passed, he's working on dimming the sun, throwing particles up into the atmosphere so he dims the sun. Now, what is that going to do to our vitamin D supply, which is showing that this is one heck of a way to safeguard yourself against the coronavirus and all other viruses. What?
Right? And it's a simple thing. You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day that was, I think it was in India. So this is where there's so many poor people, right? No social distancing. No, I mean, they're just so crowded and they're so poor. And the country actually went through and sent out little like care packages with things like vitamin D and some of these basic nutrients to help people. And their case level is like way low. I mean, way lower than the rest of the world. Now, you know, they may also not be testing as much, but just some of these simple things in a impoverished country is keeping this virus under control. So we could be doing the same thing here. Just we're not, I mean, you and I have the information, the general public is not getting, you know, that information. Hey, eat healthy, take some vitamin D, you know, take some zinc, take some vitamin C, and, you know, you're going to be fine.
Well, and I don't think that some people dig and dig like we do and find out what the real story is, right?
Exactly.
The guy that actually invented the PCR test, okay, the test for the coronavirus, he said, this test was never designed to diagnose. He said, you can take this test and find anything you want. At little bitty minute particles. He said, but that doesn't mean you're sick. That doesn't mean you're infected. He said, you can find anything with this test. And then he went on to say, Fauci is a fraud. This is what he said. And then if you look at the death rates from previous years, we're underneath that. And flu deaths are basically gone. Oh, wait, I've even got a better one for you. This one, I know for a fact. Couple up in Granby, murder-suicide. Okay, husband shoots the wife, he shoots himself, young couple. But they listed it as a COVID death for both of them.
Oh, yeah. And I've also heard like on those PCR tests that they change. So it's, I mean, this is proven fact that you can run, if you run enough cycles on that test, so every cycle amplifies the result. you can run enough cycles and anybody would test positive, right? Because you'll find just a minute protein. Well, they are in this country, they've been recommending like 45 cycles, which is way higher. That's at the level where anybody that gets that test is probably going to test positive. Now that the vaccine's out, they've dropped those recommendations down to like 30 or 35 cycles. So guess what? It's going to show, oh, the vaccine's, you know, effective, because now we're not coming up with as many cases, but it's just because they've changed how they're running the tests. And I mean, these are the actual published recommendations, you know, by like the CDC. This information's out there if you look for it. So why are they doing that? Because they want people. They're selling vaccines. That's what they're doing. They're selling vaccines.
It's so nutty. What else is coming out are the diseases that we will see as a result from this mask wearing. One is dental disease, gum disease. There's some issues there. Also, bacterial pneumonia. And my question is, who's going to get sued for all those kind of diseases if you're an employer, you know, that has made your staff wear those, right? For every day, 8 hours a day. Oh my God.
There's just no reason for it. There's nothing proven that they do any good except keep us from being able to talk to people and see their faces.
Well, you know, they were talking about, they said, is there any science that has actually tested all of the different materials that all of the people are using for masks? Has anybody done that? Right? Test this material, that material, this material. You know, I mean, it's just silly. It's just silly, but people are really holding on to this. And if you want to make somebody angry, you know, you don't wear a mask and people just lose their cookies. And it's like, well, you know, I get it. But just because you're misinformed does not cause me to want to lower my immune system. You know,
right. I mean, it should be individual choice, right? You know, we should be able to be, you know, they should educate people and then let people make their own decisions about where they're going to go. Are they going to, you know, do you have to shut down your business? I mean, this is so tragic. I mean, you know, you think the suicide rate has gone up already? Wait till more and more and more people are out of business because of the lockdowns and can't make ends meet. And, you know, I think that's just going to get worse, and it's completely needless.
Well, and my question is, why are you going to get tested? If you don't feel good, stay home. Because even if you get tested, what are they going to do for you? Unless it's a situation where you absolutely cannot breathe. And I would reach out to Dr. Simone Gold in Dallas, in the frontline doctors, and get yourself from
hydroxychloroquine.
That one. Yeah. And, but because the tests are causing more, the lockdowns are causing more poverty and more despair and more deaths, but nobody's looking that direction. So anyway, That's my rant on that. I'm hoping that in 2021, something changes. All right. So let's talk about dogs, shall we? It's a dog show.
All right.
Unbelievable. I want to tell you guys just the success rate of this podcast. This podcast is getting out, Dr. Jasek, and we are really affecting some lives. This week, shocker, we had a couple drive from Chicago to see Dr. Jasek because when I was speaking to them at the warehouse, they said, look, you know, we went to a vet and we didn't like all of the protocols that our vet there in Chicago wanted us to do. They wanted us to put this dog on kibble, wanted us to do all the standard veterinary stuff. They drove off to see Dr. Jasek and pick up raw dog food. What do you think about that?
I know. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it just tells you how few people are, you know, talking about this, or, you know, how few veterinarians are actually practicing this way. And the good thing is people are hungry for it. People want this information and they're dedicated enough to make a 1,000-mile road trip. You know, I actually talked to somebody in Australia, and it was a raw food distributor, and they had heard our podcast. And she contacted us and we set up a Zoom call. And she said, there's no vets here in Australia so that we can find to support, you know, raw feeding. And she's like, you know, she wanted to just run like some general things by me, like, you know, how we help support pets with skin disease and different things like that. Just because we can't get any support from the vets here. And she heard the podcast in Australia and she's like, I've learned so much from your podcast. And you know, we're just trying to help people as best we can because we don't have support of the veterinary profession. So yeah, pretty cool, Dee Dee. We're worldwide.
Right? Right? That's sad that they don't have any support. And I would tell you though, it seems like they're doubling down a little bit. You know, you and I talk about some crazy things that we hear coming out of the veterinary world, whether they've been instructed to double down, whether there's something going on in their conferences. It's weird, just some of the things that they say. For instance, I had a customer who contacted me and he said, hey, is it possible to cancel my order? He said, I bought raw, hoping it would help my dog, but he's immune compromised with lymphoma. And my vet told me this morning that she strongly recommends not to put him on a raw diet due to the risk of infection. And I'm like, well, what options do we have here? You know, are we going with I'm talking to myself. Are we going with the kibble that is a substandard, nutritionally inept food? Are we going with the sterile food? I mean, and how immune compromised is the dog? And what does that really mean when it relates to raw dog food? You know, I'm baffled on that. So here's my question to you. Is lymphoma an immune compromising disease?
You know, I look at lymphoma as the immune system being dysregulated rather than being compromised. So I would say, true, it's not working appropriately, but sometimes it's overactive. You know, like there's a whole spectrum of activity in the immune system because you have your autoimmune diseases where the immune system is attacking normal tissues and normal cells in the body, and then you can go down that spectrum to where the immune system, you know, just isn't working. Lymphoma is actually, you know, a form of cancer. So this is when the normal lymphocytes mutate and actually become cancerous. So, you know, the lymph nodes are a normal part of the immune system. And this is why, like, I don't agree with removing, like if we see, like sometimes they'll do biopsies or, you know, aspirates of lymph nodes that are enlarged and they'll find cancer cells, not necessarily lymphoma, but other cancer cells, because the lymph nodes are doing their job and removing those cancer cells from that area of the body. And then we remove them. And guess what? You've completely messed up that local immune system. So with something like lymphoma, we have abnormal lymphocytes in those lymph nodes. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the immune system is compromised. Now, I think it also directly from the lymphoma. Now, what else is going on with that animal? You know, we've talked about this many times before. There's always more to the picture. If that pet's been eating kibble, yeah, it probably is immune compromised because it can't be healthy eating kibble. If it's been over vaccinated, definitely could be immune compromised. Has it been on immunosuppressive medications like, you know, steroids and Apoquil or even antibiotics that mess up the gut? So all of those things could be compromising the immune system and leading to cancer. But I think we need to look at what are the underlying issues? What is truly compromising the pet? Because by the time you get to lymphoma, I'm going to venture to guess that there's been things compromising that pet's immune system for quite a while. It's not the lymphoma causing the compromise. And by changing to a raw food, we are supporting the immune system. And this whole, you know, BS about, oh, raw food is so contaminated with bacteria. I actually saw another dry food recall when I hadn't heard of Sportbix or some dry food, just a nationwide recall because of aflatoxin. Well, when do you hear about stuff like that in raw food? This is something that's truly toxic, that's killing dogs. So this is a toxin that is produced by mold. You don't ever hear about stuff like that in raw food. Raw food supports the immune system without question. There is no danger. And even if a dog had a compromised immune system, like we could document it, like their white blood cells are really low. And, you know, we've done tests to show like this dog's immune system just does not respond. I would still put them on a raw diet because we're going to be supporting the health of that immune system. So to say that a dog with lymphoma shouldn't be put on raw because it has a compromised immune system, it doesn't even make any logical sense to me from a medical perspective.
No. And so I would have liked to have talked to him a little bit more because I would like to know, what did the vet prescribe? What was the recommendation for food, right? So was it cooked food? And as we know, cooked food is going to be sterile, totally sterile. And I was reading in Ruined by Excess, Perfected by Lack. Okay. The great book, Ruined by Success, Perfected by Lack. Richard Patton, who wrote this book, he's a PhD. He said, many pets live their life in an environment greatly diminished in bacteria. And this is not always good. Intestinal bacteria are crucial to normal life. So pets eating cooked food and living in a sanitized home may need a quality probiotic. So this is really, I think, confusing to our pet parents. And I really do see that this is something that the traditional veterinarian world has no idea about. They have no idea about that. Just the things that come in that you hear and that I hear, we're like dogs that turn their head to a whistle. We're like, what? Huh?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think part of the issue in the veterinary profession now is the, you know, the corporatization. Now, you were saying, Dee Dee, that your daughter is, you know, now is a veterinarian that works in a corporate clinic. And these vets are so pushed. I mean, they are pushed to have quotas. They are supposed to see a certain number of people. They're supposed to sell a certain number of services, and they're told what to sell. They can't make recommendations outside of what their corporate bosses say they can recommend, because these corporations, they've got deals going with the pharmaceutical companies, and they buy, you know, you have corporate clinics that have clinics all over the country. They make ginormous orders to these pharmaceutical companies, and they get big discounts. And then when they sell them, they make buku bucks. And veterinarians cannot even make recommendations that are outside of the corporate standards that are handed down. So the vets are being pressured to say certain things. And I think they're so busy, they don't even take the time to think, well, does this make any sense? You know, does this make logical sense? Is this good medicine? I think they're just trying to keep their heads above water and keep their jobs in a lot of cases.
Well, I was telling you that Amanda, our daughter, has had two babies, right? And so when you have babies, you start looking at the health of your child, right? What's good and what's not. And I think that her eyes have really, really been opened because she's looking at vaccines, what certain vaccines are required, as you know, a gazillion for little kids. And she rejected some of those. And the way that she was treated by, you know, her MDs was atrocious. You know, like she's a criminal, like she's going to kill her child. And we see that in the veterinary world. And these vets do that to the patients. And I think that there's a possibility that she's really conflicted right now with what she's having to do in corporate veterinary world versus what she really studies and has learned from us and from, you know, just observing her own dogs. So she's going to be doing something more, going into chiropractic school and some more holistic avenues for pets. So that's good. That's good. But I yeah. see this trap. I see this trap mm-hmm. that is laid. You come out of school, you've got an enormous amount of debt. These corporate veterinary clinics are popping up everywhere. They're gobbling up all the independents, right? So you have to go to work to pay off your debt. And you are mandated to do what they tell you to do. And don't think, Dr. Jason, do not think, don't ask questions. Just do what we say.
Exactly. Exactly. And they are, they're in a bind, you know, they got a family to support and they need the, you know, they're looking at their own personal health insurance and those kind of, you know, corporate benefits. And they got all this debt and they don't, you know, it's hard to go out on your own. I mean, I know I've done it. I couldn't do anything else because there's nowhere I could go work and practice the way I practice. But you know, that's in my, if I could accomplish anything with my career would be to figure out a platform for educating veterinarians in ways that they can practice differently and help encourage them to go down that road. And I don't know what that looks like. But I am so busy. The demand is so clearly out there. I mean, I just get busier and busier and busier, and I'm having to, you know, push clients out further and further and further as far as, you know, making appointments because it's just getting hard to, you know, keep up with everybody and all the correspondence and all that. But I just think if there was an outlet for more, especially the young veterinarians coming out of school, giving them some alternatives and showing them that they can practice a different way. Because I think in their heart of hearts, most veterinarians know that this isn't the way to practice. This corporate medicine is not the way to practice. But like you said, they get sort of trapped. What are they going to do? It's scary to go out on your own and be an entrepreneur and all of that stuff. And they have a job and they have a paycheck and they have bills to pay and it's easy to get in there. But you know what? The suicide rate in the profession has gone up exponentially in the last, you know, decade or so. And I think this is a big part of it because vets are conflicted. They just don't know what to do about it. They don't know what other options are out there. So I think if there was a way to provide the options, I think we could get more vets practicing this way. So I'm working on that one.
Yeah, I think you can do that. I think you do that. Just letting people some people are great at their job, but they're not great business people, right? So that may scare them. They're like, I have no idea how to do my taxes mm-hmm. and how to do this and how to do that. So I think if you put together a course, put it out there, invite people, they will come. They will come. On this lymphoma thing, here's another interesting little tidbit. I had a call yesterday from a couple in California and they wanted to get on the raw diet. Reason being was they also had a dog whose lymph nodes had swollen up, right? Just like huge, you know, little balls under the cheeks there, under the jaws. Well, they went to the vet. They spent $5,000, Dr. Jasek, $5,000 to find out what was causing this swollen lymph node episode. And you know what they were told? They were told, we have no idea. Thank you for your money. But
Right. What
they did was they started cooking for the dog. They took him off of kibble. And they said to me, the lymph nodes began to decrease. And they said, so we're not going back to kibble. I said, good idea. So anyway, they wanted to get on raw. But I thought that was very interesting. Number one. And the sweet mom, she said, this dog does not have cancer. Because she repeated that over and over again. Because I said, well, if it is cancer. Nope, this dog does not have cancer. I said, okay. Good. I'm glad. Awesome. You know, that's awesome. So the dog didn't have cancer. Don't know what it was. You know, could have been, as you said, bacterial. It could have been any kind of infectious agents that the body was trying to get rid of, right? You know what? You can even get some bacteria, I was reading up, transmitted by infected water that would cause those lymph nodes to puff up, or an infection of the mouth or the chest or the throat or the lungs. I mean, there was also a bacteria that's transmitted by ticks, deer flies. So there's so many different things that can cause these lymph nodes to puff up. But $5,000, Dr. Jasek, what in the world are you doing?
I know.
What test are you running for?
And it's like, you know, you got to look at, oh, I'm sure they probably did full like body scans. They probably did a CT scan and, you know, did needle aspirates and all sorts of things. And, you know, questions I would ask, you know, is, you know, first of all, how big were the lymph nodes? Because like we were talking about before, lymph nodes are a normal part of the immune system. So if the body is exposed to something, the lymph nodes activate and they do their job. They drain. There's a whole, the lymphatic system is like part of the circulation. There's vessels that carry lymph all over the body, and the lymph nodes, they will detect foreign substances such as bacteria, virus. Just like if you get a cold, you know, your neck gets sore and you touch under your jaw where our lymph nodes are and they're just ache, you just ache there. It's because those lymph nodes are enlarged. Why? Because they're doing their job. They're helping you fight this disease. So they're a normal part of the immune system. And I think you have to look at, like in a case like that, well, how enlarged are they? Because there's levels of enlargement, okay? The body could just be reacting to something. And this could be, you know, mold out in the environment. Dogs are always out there sniffing around. And if the dog was eating kibble, well, that body is constantly fighting to detox because we know how bad kibble is and how inflammatory it is. And that could have just been the body trying to deal with all the toxins it was taking in from that, you know, the processed kibble. And the other thing is that I see not happening in conventional medicine is, let's look at the pet. Like, just how's the pet doing? I mean, I always ask this question, like, how's your pet feel? Does it like to eat? Does it, you know, is it drinking water? Its stool's normal? Does it like to go for walks? You know, like, if I have somebody come in and their dog's lymph nodes are enlarged and, you know, they've been told their dog may have lymphoma. I'm like, well, what's the activity level? And they're, you know, hiking 2 hours several times a week or something. I said, okay, your dog doesn't likely have a very aggressive form of cancer. So we got something we can manage if it does have it. And then I question that diagnosis to begin with, if the dog is feeling that good. So I think in conventional medicine, they get hung up on the numbers. So they'll do all the diagnostics. They'll do the blood tests and they'll do the ultrasound and they'll do the chest x-rays and CT scans. And there's nothing wrong with that, but is it really necessary if this pet isn't even acting sick? You know, if we just have some enlarged lymph nodes and the pet isn't acting sick, you know, do we need to jump in and spend thousands of dollars of the client's money when the pet really is doing pretty well? I mean, I think sometimes we just have to take a step back and look at things a little more logically. But again, you know, this comes back to the corporate practices. The practitioners are programmed to sell, and a lot of them work on at least in part on a percentage basis. So they get paid based on what they can sell. So I do think that enters into it, because I see a lot of diagnostic testing done that I feel is unnecessary.
And then this dog is on prednisone.
Is it even necessary? I mean, that would be a case where, you know, like I said, I would have more questions about how the pet is doing and, you know, looking at those tests, and do we need to put a dog on prednisone just because the lymph nodes are, you know, are enlarged? You know, probably not. And it sounds like the dog's doing better, you know, now being on raw. So maybe it just needed a diet change. Go figure.
So what's the reasoning behind putting a dog on prednisone if the lymph nodes are swollen? What's the logic there?
Well, it will reduce the size of lymph nodes because it suppresses the immune system. So even if you don't have lymphoma and you have an activated immune system, so the immune system is reacting to something, prednisone suppresses the immune system. So of course it's going to suppress it and drop the size of the lymph nodes. But, you know, that could be like, you know, say you have your eye have a cold and our lymph nodes get enlarged and you take prednisone. Well, you're stopping your body from treating the virus or fighting the virus or bacteria or whatever you have. So it doesn't even make any sense to do that. I mean, I have used prednisone in some true lymphoma cases where those lymph nodes will get so big that the dog's having a hard time breathing or something. They can't swallow because these lymph nodes are truly so large and they're pushing on the trachea and pushing on the esophagus. So we have to shrink the size. So in a case like that, we would use it. But if we don't even know why they're enlarged, you could be making matters way worse by using something like prednisone that's immunosuppressive. Now we have to, I think, focus on, and the way I practice is supporting the body in what the body knows how to do naturally. Because if we support the body, most of the time, the body knows what to do and the body can heal and the body can resolve a lot of these issues on its own. But we have to stop insulting it and support it with things like a raw diet.
Oh, snap!
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.